A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. While Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and on the third day he will be raised." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard it, they were angry with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. There's something actually embarrassing about the behavior of Zebedee's family here. First, his wife, the mother of James and John, she kneels to Jesus, or according to some translations, she bows down before him and asks with what I can only call colossal effrontery. In Yiddish, they'd say chutzpah. She asks to have her sons assigned to the most important places in the kingdom of God. And her sons are obviously cut from the same cloth as their mother, because they've just heard Jesus tell them exactly what's going to happen to him. And yet, when he asks them if they can face the same terrible destiny, they blithely say they can. Well, it's true, they were both put to death by the enemies of Christ, so to that extent, I suppose they were right. But when Jesus was tried and flogged and crucified, when it came to the crunch, only one of them had the courage, had the integrity to stay there at the foot of the cross. Their mother is like a lot of show business parents or people whose children are gifted in sport, people who will stop at nothing to push their children into the literal or figurative limelight. They say Shirley Temple's mother was like that. She was a disappointed showbiz star herself. They say Agassiz's father was the same type, so competitive for their offspring that they risked losing sight of the real prize of the happiness and health and serenity of their children, and above all, of teaching their children to think of others with generosity and love and care. Being great, as Jesus reminds the disciples in this passage, means being at the service of others, not lording it over them. If you're my generation, my sort of age, ancient, you probably remember the song from Annie Get Your Gun. "Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you." It's comic, Annie and Frank are not in serious competition, but the mentality is not really comic in the real world. It's the mentality that says, oh, I'm the one that matters. I'm better than you. I can do things better than you can. This is not the mentality that we should be cultivating. And then Jesus says, right at the end of this passage, the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many, a ransom. So we've been kidnapped, morally speaking, by our own selfishness, by our arrogance, by our self-importance. And the price of freeing us is the passion and death of Jesus. Oh Lord, help us to recognize how small we are, how unimportant, and yet how greatly you have always loved us.